He drives one high and deep into right center field towards the Red Sox bullpen. It is back and it is off the top of the wall, and it caroms into center field. This could be an inside the park homer. Abreu runs third. He gets the go-ahead. He comes home. Head first slide. Inside the park homer for Willier Abreu.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Will Fleming's call of Willier Abreu's big night, historic night. Not only did he have the inside the park home run, he had a grand slam later in the game. First person to do that since Roger Maris. You might have heard of him. Pretty big figure in the history of baseball. And isn't that pretty cool? Like that, you think about Willier Abreu. I don't know where his career goes. I don't know if he has a 10-year career and hits 300 home runs or anything. But in the record books, his name is next to Roger Maris. Now.
That's kind of the appeal of baseball.
Yeah, it really is.
That's
and
one example of what is the appeal of the game, I think.
And the other example coming out of that is I saw he was asked post-game, which felt better? Which is cooler? Which did you enjoy more? I forgot the way they phrased it. The inside the park home run or the regular home run, the grand slam? Wouldn't the answer always be the real one? I think that is such a cooler feeling. Like, inside the park home runs are kind of gimmicky. You had to hit it in the perfect part of the park. It had to have the perfect bounce or roll. And a fielder might have had to fall down, crumble to the turf or whatever. But when you hit a home run, to me that's like a dunk. Or that's like a big hit when you put a guy just flat on his back, a snot bubble type hit. If you hit a jack and just flip the bat, I think that's going to be a much better feeling.
Yeah, but how about that crowd? Like when you hear on the replay the surging crowd noise as like that wave builds, like, I think he can do it. I think this is going to happen. You don't see this that often in baseball.
Yeah.
Holy Schmidt, it's going to happen. He's going to hit it inside. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's so, because it is, it's borderline anomalous and doesn't happen that often, Hart.
Yeah, so that, but my, like, if I could Disney movie this and you just said, you know, plop me into one scene or one feeling in professional baseball, it would be the jack over the monster, the one that lands like, that one's on the pike, and you just do the slow trot around.
What's more common? I mean, the inside the park home run is not a very common, and so it's unique. And
yeah, plus, you got to run your ass off, too.
Yeah, right. The home run, you get to trot. Or, you know,
backwards, I could pick
you wouldn't
a fight.
See, I mean, you want to see Big Dumper out in Seattle hit a grand slam or hit an inside the park home run. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I guess now when you quirkify it and make it like that, like Rafi Devers, I'd pay to see him hit an inside the park.
I don't think it would happen. See him fall on his ass.
I think he would stop at second base and be like, no, I'm not running anymore. Nope, that's just a double. I'll wait for somebody else to hit me in. But the Red Sox have scored 31 runs, Ted Johnson, in the last three games. They scored 30 in the previous 11. So do we have a trend? Do we have, is the snowball rolling down the hill and is it picking up steam? We got Roman Anthony, had two hits yesterday. He's only batting .210, but that's up from like sub 100 where it was.
114.
Yeah.
So,
Chris Berman, is there something turning the corner here?
No, don't get too excited. Yeah, sorry.
What are you doing?
You know,
I was setting you up to be optimistic.
I'd love to be, but every time I was optimistic with this team, they'd go on losing streaks.
And you're burned and spurned.
If everybody knows what I covered the Astros, so I can tell you for a fact that if you know what pitch is coming, it's easier to hit the ball. yesterday,
that's the funniest thing you've said on this show.
The Red Sox are, I guess, supposedly picking up signals.
Yep.
And I was listening to the game. We were all texting, and I don't know if you guys were watching on TV, but I'm listening to it on my radio and in my headphones, and it's just like, and another hit, and another hit, and another hit, and another, and it was like, I think they picked up his signs. Dude, if you know what pitch is coming, so you're telling me you're going to read into yesterday's performance, especially in that first inning when they had all those hits in the first inning and seven runs, that's a trend? No, because they had the pitch. They knew what pitch was coming, so pitcher isn't going to tip their pitches to the Red Sox hitters. So, no, it's hard for me to get too worked up about it.
But this is twice that they've topped double digits, Fitzy, in the last three games, so that's a trend, right?
Yep, this is Ted. The operative phrase yesterday on the program, as I'm sure you heard, was proof of concept.
Yeah,
yes. So this we're hoping will ultimately a week, 10 days, 2 weeks into the All-Star break from now be the proof of concept that Roman Anthony coming around, a healthy Willier Abreu, consistency from Marcelo Mayer, Trevor Story back in the good groove, that this will actually lead to an ignited Red Sox offense and that they'll finally unlock the potential that they've been teasing us with all the way back to JetBlue in spring training.
Okay, this is interesting. Remember a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this specifically. It felt like the Red Sox made a concerted effort to change their pitching style. Like they start throwing more fastballs, right?
Yep.
It looked like a shift in philosophy. Like, is there a shift in hitting philosophy now? Like, are they saying, you know what, let's, because they're obviously not, you know, worried about launch angle. They're just worried about getting balls in play. And when you look at the results of the last few games.
I want to say yes, because I want them to do that. But we were talking a little bit about this earlier because you know I've fixated on strikeouts because I think this team has to put the ball in play. They are not it's okay to swing for the fences and strike out because you'll get your home. But last night was indeed a game. They only had 5 strikeouts. That's one of their best games of the year. This is a team that rolls out of bed and gets like 9 or 10 strikeouts every time they take the field.
Huge to only strike out 5 times.
But they also did hit 4 home runs. So like it was almost the best case scenario. They kept the strikeouts low and still, even though one didn't leave the ballpark, they had 3 traditional home runs in the inside of the park. So that's where I'm not totally buying that, but I want to believe that. And it stems from my guy Will Middlebrooks when I was listening to him the other day. And he was talking about, I think it was on Nesson, so I think it was with Dave O'Brien. And Dave O'Brien's like, oh, they stole a base. This is what they were doing early in the year when they had some success. They're built for this. They're more aggressive. They take extra bases.
That's a good line. I know where you're going.
And Will Middlebrooks goes, yeah, unfortunately, you can't steal first base.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's the reality of this team is they need to get on base and put some pressure on the defense, but they haven't put the ball in play enough and then got on first base. But I would like to believe, and I do think, I know you poo-poo this a little bit, but Roman Anthony can be an impetus for that, as right now you're number 2 hitter, which tells you how good they – who did they trade? The $300 million man batted second, right?
Correct.
Rafi Devers?
Correct.
And now Roman Anthony's your 2 hitter, even though he wasn't hitting. Like, we've seen other guys pop up there, Campbell, pop up there, Meyer, but then when they don't hit, they get bumped back down. They have stuck with Roman Anthony. They believe in Roman Anthony, and he's your 2 hitter. If you get Jaron Duran – and Roman Anthony going, and then bring your guy Bregman back, those 3 guys right there, I do actually think could be the impetus for a better offensive output from this team. I absolutely do.
I feel like the Roman's got a feel now. Like, you know, so that's, you know, to me, that trend should continue. Look, Christian Campbell got 71 games to prove whether or not was worthy of being on the big league roster. So, Roman Anthony, just because he started off, 4-34, he's going to get a long leash.
And he looked better than Christian Campbell ever did. I keep going back to that. When he's hitting rockets off the pitcher's thigh and it goes to the shortstop and you're out. Yes, I know. In Dan Ball's world, when you just look at the stat column, that says you're out. You didn't get a hit.
In his first game, though, down in Texas.
What's that?
I believe Campbell got a hit in his first game.
Oh, no,
in Texas.
Campbell
he
was
good early too.
I didn't think he ever looked good.
He was rookie.
He put up
month
good numbers
for the first month. Of
I'm talking
the,
look. I'm least. Talking Sydney Sweeney eyes look. I didn't like the way he looked. Whereas Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer can get out and look like they're big leaguers.
The
swing.
How many errors does Roman Anthony have? Because he had that one bad era.
That's a Dan Ball stats and information
game. I hear that. That really bad error in game one, Ted. And also,
I don't think he's had many since, is my point, Fitz. Uh-uh. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I was just going to add the thing that Lou Maloney talked about when he joined us in studio at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio a while ago. Supreme patience at the plate. Cora even spoke about this in one of our Wednesday interviews, and looking forward to catching up with him tomorrow at 2:30, I believe. He talked about how everybody in spring training just wants to like grip it and rip it and just try to put on a show and hit it and impress the boss and the hitting coach and make the big leagues. And Roman just kept walking and walking and walking because he's so disciplined and has such a great eye. You add that to him now coming around to some of these second and third pitches that guys are throwing at him, boys. Yeah. He's going
to
be something.
In Roman Anthony, to answer the question, he only had that one really bad error.
Yeah.
No error since that.
No.
So that's a great sign. It's a Fitzy's,
not an error repeater.
He's not very good. and to prove Fitzy's point, I mean, you can tell when a young player isn't comfortable at the plate. Like, there's body language. There's like they look a little bit like a cat on a hot tin roof, kind of. You know, they're just like, Roman Anthony's, I don't sense any of that.
I'm not sure it's just young players. There's times this year where I thought Trevor Story didn't look comfortable at the plate. Right?
You're right.
And he's a 12-year MLB veteran.
You're right.
Whereas I think, and I said this, I keep using this term, the natural. Roman Anthony looks like the natural. Like, he just looks like, you know, God makes people for certain jobs.
Is his bat name Wonder Boy?
Yes, it should be.
It should be, yeah.
He was made.
He's got this voice special ready.
He was made to be in the left-handed batter's box in a major league stadium and hit the ball and swing. Like, almost, I don't want to go this far because this is unfair, but almost Griffey-esque or Will Clark-esque. Just that sweet lefty, you're like, that guy is an artist with a baseball bat in his hands. To me, that's what Roman Anthony is. So the offense is scoring runs. The flip side of that is the pitching staff, which strangely, somehow, quirky, baseball, whatever you want to call it, Garrett Crochet was not at his best. He was good enough to win for the first time at Fenway Park.
That's insane.
That kind of jumped out to me. He was 7-4 coming in, and you're like,
I agree.
I just didn't realize. I knew he hadn't gotten a lot of run support and sort of quirky nature of some of those things. But for the first time, a Fenway Park crowd went home with a ticket stub. Well, they don't have ticket stubs anymore, but a ticket stub from a victory for Garrett Crochet. And
they had Superman bobbleheads.
They did have Superman bobbleheads and those Superman jersey shirt things and that whole
jerseys,
thing.
Jerseys, we call them.
But Garrett Crochet, any concern? And Ted, I want to get your opinion on this because I defended Garrett Crochet. I thought it was really interesting. He gets a 7-run lead, and he's good the first three innings, really good. And then he's not as dominant as we expect him to always be. The game got to 7-4, I think, at one point with De La Cruz at the plate. Any concern there? Is that just human nature?
Human nature.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Okay.
Yeah, my guess is he probably just took his foot off the gas pedal, smidgey. When you have that kind of run support in the first inning, do I need to dig deep for this fastball? You know, and that probably was a little bit of what that was. And you know what? He's earned the right to do that, considering the season he's had and considering the lead that they had.
And even more so than just human nature at 7-0, he kept them. He was good in the second. He was good in the third. And then it's almost like, okay, I'm cruising now kind of thing. Like, maybe he even had the mental awareness to not have the fall off in the second. But then you kind of settle into where the game is going and you're up 7-0. We're heading into the fourth. And then he gave up some runs. I'm not worried.
Hey, the expression is they get paid too, man.
Yeah.
You know? So it's pros on it.
Maybe
other
he
side
was tipping too. Pitches too in the fourth inning.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Do you worry? Tito Francona had a comment post game.
Yeah.
That he said, you know, Cora's great at that. He's always been great at some of that stuff and sort of reading things.
Great at what?
Like
exactly.
Taking orders from Breslau.
Picking up tipped pitches
very
or things. Well, that's what do you think it was, or was he just being like, that's baseball. If you tip your pitches, a guy like that's gonna pick it up.
Probably the latter.
Yeah. I thought it was just a statement of fact.
Yeah.
We have a young pitcher who just got to the big leagues a week ago, and guess what? We're gonna have
stop
to sit down and he'll be fine.
I'm just amazed that it took how come the Reds coaching staff didn't like see the same thing and go out there and be like, hey bro, you're tipping your pitches. Stop doing that.
Aren't we led to believe these pitching coaches watch every freaking pitch in like five angles in computer animation and nobody noticed on that end that he's tipping pitches, but Alex Cora's like, hey, did you see that? Hey guys, you know what's coming? Jarren Duran, here, you make sure it's true, and then you tell everybody else. Like, I agree with you. That's something that if I'm mad and I'm Tito Francona, I'm looking down my bench, not across at the other bench. I'm pissed off at some of the coaches I have and computer analysts and whoever else that may be. Dan Ball, did you, you looked like you had a,
No, I think the credit goes to Duran. I know he shouted out Alex Cora on that, but Duran came back from his at-bat and spotted it. And I think it's also just a nod to what we laud Cora for and want more of, which is feel for the game, eye test. That's not a number a computer's not going to spit out. He's tipping his pitches. Alex Cora, watching the game, is going to find that out because he knows the game extremely well. We'll put the trash cans aside and just say that this time it was only eyes that showed the Red Sox what was going on.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought of that. Like, the Breslau bot wasn't, you know, sending anything down about the tipping of the pitch. That's
just good old-fashioned baseball.
Eyeballs, baseball, experience, knowing
what Alex
to
so
watch your mouth.
This is where we're going to get one time. Okay, Brez, settle down back there.
Brez Bott, Sebastian chiming in.
Do you think he'd answer that question with you guys tomorrow? What's the process of figuring out information like a guy's tipping his pitches?
Let's ask him.
On a general level, he will. He's not going to be like, you know.
He'll be like, oh, what are you guys talking about? There's no such thing going on Monday.
But when you do figure out what pitch is coming, how do you communicate that to the batter, Alex?
Well, we bang a trash can. No, I'm just kidding,
Alex.
I just
use my Apple Watch
and I lean it.
Tipping pitches.
No, we don't use the Apple Watch, but it's been around long before. You know, well, trash cans have always been around, but long before Apple Watches, what I do think it's interesting because there's all of these in baseball. I love these overly simple sometimes. Like I heard on the broadcast yesterday, they were talking about a throw over, and when the catcher wants it, generally most teams just put the catcher's mitt down. He just put, and it's like, wait, all teams use the same signal? Well, how come the guy on first base didn't see the catcher put his glove down if everybody uses the age-old symbol? So, no, I think we can ask him about tipping pitchers in general.
Would you look at the time? Got to go.
Bye, Brez. Have a good day.
You can watch film of the pitcher and see if he's tipping before you even play him.
Right.
I mean, that's why I'm thinking, did they discover something in that first inning, or did they already know going into the game and they saw it right away and then started exploiting it?
My guess
it?
Would be the old Reagan trust but verify. Like, they knew going in, and then you verify it in the first inning, and then, like, once you do, now you're like a lion, just latch on.
When you watch film and it's football players, all you're doing, you're looking at, like, the guard. Is he set back on his hands? Does he lean a little bit?
Yep.
Is his back foot a little bit when he pulls?
And that's not illegal.
That's why you watch all that damn film.
But I feel like because you even joked about it.
I think baseball does the same thing is what I'm trying to say.
It's like somewhere we lost the line of like what is cheating and what is traditional. I don't even know what you call it. Just
nobody would call that
knowledge.
Gamesmanship.
Right. Like for the Patriots, if I look across the field and I see when the guy goes like this, it's some sort of lightning blitz when some guy does something, it's okay if I tell my guys that. Now, if I have a cameraman who's running it through an AI model and bot and algorithm, okay, we crossed a line where we're doing something we're not allowed to now.
Can I give you a really good example of this that happened? The Todd Collins game, the Swamp Chicken, when he in the pick six against Dan Marino.
Yes.
1997. We played the Miami Dolphins back-to-back. We played in Miami, lost to them, and then they had to come up and play us in the first round of the wild card.
Yep.
Dan Marino didn't change his audible, his signal for a slant route from the week before. Todd Collins sees Marino basically give the hang loose sign, looks over at me, goes, it's going to be a slant. And it was. Todd intercepts it, runs it back for a touchdown.
Wow.
Is that cheating or is that just...
That's just laziness on the Dolphins part and Dan
and
Marino.
Intelligence on the part of your line. Yeah, the linebacker.
Also, that's a little bit of a lack of respect for you guys.
Good.
That's like Joe Mazzulla. Run it again. Run it again. They'll never know.
That's a fair point. Huh?
But, I love that stuff. I love when you hear about guys like you or coordinator like, did you see where his left foot is? You know what that means, don't you? And I'm like, I'm not sure I know what it means. Why don't you tell me what it means? But that's preparation. That's being ready to battle, and the Red Sox were ready to battle last night. They get a win, and now Ted Johnson tells me, don't get ahead of myself. It's only one win.
Come on.
I'm getting excited. I'm buying in again. You know me. I'm just overly optimistic and positive and naive.
It's good to see, you know, Trevor Story hitting a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, Roman obviously hitting a little bit better.
Your boy Bregman is coming back. He said he's ahead of schedule, and he's feeling better.
I'm a little bit tired of the Bregman. I wish they didn't. Like, weren't so optimistic a few weeks ago. I think the Red Sox are just looking to get any positive news out there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know what? Don't tell us Bregman's coming before the All-Star break, and then he doesn't. It's like they're just stringing us along a little bit because I think they need positive stories out there.
Okay. Well, I'm buying
into it. Frustrated by that.
I'm buying into the positive stories. Okay. They're scoring runs. They're pitching. Bregman's back. All is good in Red Sox Nation. All's good here on WEEI Afternoons because it's a Tuesday. But pretend it's a Thursday at 5:30, because Quiz with Stiz is up next. And the linebacker, Ted Johnson, undefeated champion, takes on Nick Fitzy Stevens, trying to knock him off his throne. That's up next. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Don't forget you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And you can also listen to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. That means if you happen to miss a Quiz with Stiz, you could always go back on any of those technological avenues and get it. It is time on a Tuesday because, in case you didn't know, Stiz is taking Thursday off. Super long weekend for Mr. Miller Lite back there.
That's right. I'll be at your house. Don't worry about it.
Come on down, my friend, anytime. But right now, a Tuesday quiz with Stiz.
It's time for the quiz with Stiz.
That's right, boys. You know the name. You know the game.
Rule number one, no bitching.
That seems fair.
Who's that to?
On WEEI Afternoons.
Oh, you suck. That would have been perfect way to end this.
The walk-off. Oh, I send him home on the wings of defeat.
Now, here's your host, Stiz.
Love it. Good stuff. Good
That's
stuff.
Right, boys. Thank you to Dan. Amazing job on that.
Let's go.
On that
job,
intro.
Boys.
You know and that's game. Right. You know the name. You know the game. It is Quiz with Stiz on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in July, where Ted Johnson, our reigning champion, will go up against film nerd, cinephile, sports nerd, Nick Stevens. Nick, are you ready?
I was born for this.
All right, I like it.
I'll say that.
All right, before before I give you tonight's theme, I'll pass it off to my behind-the-glass brethren, Dan Ball, to get you caught up on some ground rules.
All right, Stiz, thank you. So Ted comes in with a record of 3-0 in the quiz with Stiz. He is also 1-0 in the season series against Nick Fitzy Stevens. Mm. Fitzy comes in with an even record at 5-5 entering the quiz today. So Stiz has picked a topic for this week. He'll ask a question. If the host gets it wrong, the other host will have a chance to steal. If neither get it, it opens up multiple choice. Are we using a lifeline this week, Stiz? I think we are, right?
Yeah, sure.
Might as well. All right, so we're using...
Yeah, I can bitch.
We're using Andy Hart as the lifeline. If he gets it right, it opens up the second lifeline. If not, you lose it. 10 questions, best score after 10 wins. Don't forget the Ted Johnson rules for the quiz with Stiz. Rule number one, no bitching. Yes. Rule number two, no complaining.
Yes.
Rule number three, no accusatory comments.
Yes.
Rule number four, no self-victimization.
Yes,
and
sir.
Start, stop being a beep and play the game.
And always Indeed. And always let the Wookiee win.
That's right. And Andy's not playing, so none of these apply. Back to you, Stiz.
All right, Ted Johnson. Before I give you tonight's theme, you won last week. Yep. So heads or tails?
I'm going to go Ted the heads.
Oh, I am sorry. I'm sorry,
head
tonight.
The heads.
Usually tails never fails, and it didn't tonight. So, Nick, you will start us off.
Yeah,
and
let's go.
And tonight's theme of the game, 4th of July.
Yeah, I
had
a feeling there.
4th of July.
Had a feeling.
So did you brush up? Did you do some studying last night, knowing you were coming into the game?
I'm full of nothing but America. Let's go.
Al Davis.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Andy, that's not the way it works.
No, he was born on the 4th of July in Brockton.
Oh, how about that?
I did not know that.
Hope that wasn't a question. If I apologize.
All right. Nick Stevens.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs will Americans enjoy this 4th of July? How many hot dogs every year on the 4th of July do Americans
this
consume?
This is not even a within 100,000?
No, I'm not. No, listen, I'm like 300 million, 50 million, not like 427
oh, okay,
million.
You know? I'm going to go with 400 million.
Ooh. No. Teddy.
I'm going to say 252
Ooh.
Million.
No.
Cease. You said that's correct. I was going to shut down the entire grid.
Nick, how many hot dogs will Americans consume this 4th of July? A, 50 million. B, 100 million. C, 150 million hot dogs.
I'm just going to go right down Broadway. 100 million.
Oh, no. So, Ted, 50 million or 150 million?
I'm looking over to Andy. I'm going to say 150 million.
He's on the board.
Let's go.
That's what I would have said.
Let's go.
I mean, this is a great game. I love you.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
A lot of dogs.
That's a lot of lips and butthole.
People eating them. And when you eat them, you eat more than just like, you kind of plow through them. Yeah.
Do you guys like them like extra charred?
I like extra charred.
Lightly charred. And you score them a little bit so they split.
A buttered bun.
Oh, you gotta butter the bun. You gotta butter the bun.
New England style. New England style bun.
Hey, look at you. Guys.
Anyone who puts ketchup on a hot dog eats pizza with a fork and
knife. I do. Diced onions and ketchup.
I love ketchup.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway,
casuals on this show.
Yep.
Ted, your question has an audio clue.
Oh,
it's from a movie. You're going to have to guess the movie. Are you ready for your audio clue?
I'm ready, bub.
Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation.
This feels like a lifeline question.
I mean,
wow.
Even I could get this
one. You got this one?
I don't know.
Why is it? This feels a little, I don't know, Bill Pullman, Independence Day-ish.
There we go. Right? Even I knew that one.
There we go.
Where were these last
week? Like, what's the name of the president in Independence Day? Not just like, here, let me play you the most iconic 4th of July speech in the history of movies.
Hey, no complaining. That's a rule.
All right, Nick,
violated rule
I sound
number
like
two.
You. Look what you've done to me, Andy.
I know. It wears off.
When it's rigged against you, it hurts, doesn't it, Fitzy?
It really does.
All right, Nick. Again, roughly.
I saw Ted slip a 20 and Stiz his hand.
Let's
more
go.
Than 20. Roughly, how many people were living in America when the Declaration of Independence was signed? Roughly.
Just got to get it roughly.
Let's see. 13 colonies. Are we counting the indigenous and native? No, we'll just go with the settlers. And I'm going to go with 173,000.
Ooh. No. Ted.
I got like 685,000 in my brain.
Ooh. No. Okay. Nicholas, how many people were living in America when the Declaration of Independence was signed? Was it A, 2.5 million, B, 5 million, or C, 10 million?
2.5 million.
He's on the board.
Oh, okay.
The maker.
Not a lot of people. Not a lot of people back then. 1776.
Well, we had lots of them, but then they died of stuff.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. I hate that.
Ted.
Yes, sir.
In what year was the 4th of July declared a national holiday?
Oh, goodness. So it was 1776 is when we declared.
Carry the one.
It probably took them a couple hundred years to figure it out. No. I'm going to say 1907.
Ooh, no.
He says ooh no matter what.
I'll go with 1882.
Wow, no. Ted, was it A, 1786, B, 1870, or C, 1916?
Oh, goodness. Oh. It can't be like a few years after, right? You don't know. I'm going to say maybe, you know what? I'm going to go 1916.
I'm
going to go with this. If I'm right or wrong, that's fine. But I'm going to go with 1870 because that's in it. The pre-Reconstruction, post-Civil War thing, we needed something to rally there and celebrate go. Around. I'll
okay.
go with 1870.
Okay, Fitzy.
Nerd.
You got that's nerd. What I'm talking about. Let's work through it together, America.
Nerd. Oh, you nerds.
All right, Ted, are you ready?
I'm ready, bub.
Your next question is an audio clue. Oh,
let's hear it.
Here we go.
Come over here and say a few words, would you please? Bob Kovac, ladies and gentlemen, was born on the 4th of July, 1946. Well, let's give him a big hand on his great birthday.
I just want to say for all the guys in Vietnam that we're doing our best. It's not an easy situation, but the boys' morale over there is real high, and you can feel confident that we are going to win that war.
Ted.
Yes, sir.
What movie?
It's one of my favorite actors. People will push back on this, but I absolutely love him. That's Tom Cruise and Born on the 4th of July.
That's right. People will push back.
Are you sure it's not Tropic Thunder?
People will push back on Tom Cruise.
Oh, people. Well, because of his politics.
One of the greatest of all time.
Yeah. They let his off-the-court stuff influence how they feel about his on-screen stuff.
Hey, Stiz, Dan, real quick, what's the score?
It is now 3-2 Ted after that correct answer. So good comeback by Fitzy after a strong start.
Okay, so
Ted.
How did Ted get the fifth question if I was supposed to go first?
Wow, look at this.
Maybe we, you know, that's all right. Maybe someone got skipped over. That's all right. Don't worry. Let's keep it moving. What Nicholas, here we go. Okay. Three presidents have died on 4th of July.
Yeah.
James Monroe,
yep.
John Adams, and who else?
John Adams. George. George Bush.
Oh, no. Ted.
Check. I mean, was my man Abe? Was it Abraham?
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Nicholas. Yep. Was it A, Thomas Jefferson, B, Woodrow Wilson, or C, Ulysses S. Grant?
I'm going to go with Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say old T. T.J. Thomas Jefferson.
That's right. Thomas Jefferson.
No kidding.
Thomas Jefferson,
Hold
John
the
Adams.
Irony of that.
Yeah, and how's this for a quick fun? Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both die on July 4th, 1826, 5 hours apart, 50-year anniversary of 4th of July.
Wow.
Kind of weird.
What a marketing ploy that was. Yeah.
Thank you to Google AI for that one.
Should
well.
We let Nick go again since we
sure.
I may have skipped over? Yeah. All right, yeah. Nick, here we go. May have. Who knows? We'll go back to the tape. All right, Nick. Robert Heft was 16 when he designed the 50-star flag. Which state did he live in when he designed our current flag?
Oh, mother.
You got a 2% chance to guess this.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. The direct mail response rate. I'm gonna go with one of them. You know what? I don't know. Pennsylvania.
Take a stop. All right. Ted.
All right.
Just real quick. What's the lead? What's the score? I mean.
It's 4-2 Ted.
4-2 okay. Ted.
All right. Go for it. All right. I'm gonna say Kentucky.
Kentucky. No. Nick. Was it A, New Jersey? B, Maine? C, Ohio.
A, Kentucky. B,
no.
Maine.
A, New Jersey. A. B, Maine. C, Ohio.
What's the last good thing that came out of Jersey? I'll go with Jersey.
Oh, no. Ted.
It feels like somebody like that would be into the flags and all that would be from, you know, the middle part of the country. I'm going to say Ohio. Ohio.
Ohio was right.
There we go.
Oh!
Right. Let's go.
Who would have thought?
Let's go.
All right,
I'm
Ted.
Cooked.
Yes, sir.
Cooked.
Your next question as an audio clue. Let's Are go. You ready?
I'm ready, bub.
We're going home now. And never, ever, under any circumstances known to God, speak about this again. Is that clear? It is not merely a future therapy bill. Agreed?
Oh. This is a tough one.
Oh.
This is a tough one, I will say that. What movie is that from?
Can I say I have no clue?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have no clue. All right.
Nick.
All right. Oh, I could have used a lifeline. Did you know?
Oh, you could.
Nope.
Yeah, okay. No way. Right.
I would have also said I have no clue.
I will go with Platoon.
Ooh, no. Ted. A. I Know What You Did Last Summer. B. Glory, or C, Jaws.
Okay, it's not the last two. It's because I know those movies. It's the first one.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I Know You Got a Point.
Let's go.
Ooh, right. Doggy. The champ is rolling.
That's right. All right, Nick, this next question has an audio clue. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
You knew all those things. But still, my boy is dead now. And there's nothing you can do about it. My boy is dead. I wanted you to know that.
Oof.
That's Mrs. Kittner from Jaws.
Hey, there we go.
Very good.
I tried to find the most obscure Jaws quote because they're all so famous. And I'm like, I think this one might stump somebody. But
that was a sad Fitzy answer.
Yeah, I know. I knew because Andy, it was one I wish I had earlier to build some momentum. Also, speaking of stumps, the Kittner boy.
Oh, that's too soon, Nick. Too soon, that poor kid. Right after the 50-year anniversary. Dang. All right, Teddy, last question.
Stay out of the water.
In what year did Boston hold its first free Esplanade concert? For the 4th of July.
I'm going to say in 1968.
No. Nick.
1973.
No. Ted, was it A, 1929, B, 1943, or C, 1961?
1961, 1943. The country was busy then. So 1961.
1961. No.
The country was busy.
Nick.
I'm going to go with 1943, just thinking that once again, morale needed to be lifted as the war was hopefully turning tides.
It's been going on for more than 100 years. 1920. Well, actually, no, not a little less than 100 years. 1929.
Math was never the issue.
1929.
All right.
Can you imagine that? I would have thought it was a lot sooner than that, too.
How about it, Teddy Johnson?
Teddy Johnson.
Johnson.
4-0.
Johnson, a victory earned and deserved.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow.
God bless.
This is good. It's fun being on top.
I was going to say, you think it's fun because you keep winning.
Good times.
Well, you'll have to battle him next week.
Oh, he's going down next week. I'm sick of the reign of Ted Johnson in Quiz with Stiz. Okay. This is ridiculous. Okay. It's rigged and it's fixed. I can still bitch even though I didn't play today. Glad you didn't come to me, guys, by the way. I didn't know, not sure I had a single
answer. No one came to Andy for a lifeline.
Good call.
Yeah, Dan and Stiz being Tim Donaghy accepting bribes in the booth. Come on.
Well, plus, if you come to me to guess, like, good the job, number Ted. Of hot dogs.
I love it. Everybody that loses.
Somehow, you can't help
just
it,
like
Ted.
The Colts.
Andy,
you know
despite
why? Because,
not
Ted,
playing.
You're such a big, imposing figure, but you're so mild-mannered in your gamesmanship. Much respect.
I think Andy violated rules 1, 2, 3, and 4 despite not playing today. That's
right.
The true victory.
Good job, boys. Good job, Stiz. Nice open, Dan Ball. Love it. 4th of July theme was appropriate. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we wrap things up with odds and ends. It's a holiday today. Day that you may not have even known. It's a very special day if you're a baseball fan. We'll tell you what that is next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons. Time now for Odds and Ends, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. It's a holiday. And yes, texters, I know a lot of you do know what day it is, but I was teasing. I was leading up to something. It is Bobby Bonilla Day. And I bet Ted Johnson wishes there was a Ted Johnson Day version of this.
Damn Skippy, bro.
Where he's like, yeah, Bill, I'll defer some of my money and you just pay me for the next 35 years with 8% interest. In case you're not familiar, when Bobby Bonilla was on the New York Mets, they reworked his deal. Instead of making a payment then, he deferred money through 2035. On July 1st, he gets an annual payment of $1,193,248.20 today for deferring.
Nice.
It's awesome. It's like no matter what you do in your life, like Bobby Bonilla can't go broke. Like all these other, you know, bankrupt stories, he could do the dumbest thing he wants, and he knows all I got to do is make it to next July because there's another $1.1 million check in the mail. And that's like the lottery has the rich for life or whatever, where you get certain things on scratch tickets. Or this is awesome, and it's also one of the dumbest things any organization has ever done. Although, I guess it's not that much different than what the Dodgers are doing with Ohtani, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little different, but they're still going to be paying for him way down the road. Yes, Dan Ball.
You know who also does this is the Boston Red Sox. As
yes.
Dustin Pedroia and Manny Ramirez both got a check today as well.
Well, do you know how much those were for?
Manny got just over $2 million, 2.038 if you care, and then Dustin got $2.5 million.
See, just we mentioned Bobby Bonilla because none of those guys were ever mentioned on Seinfeld.
That's true. And Ted Johnson, would you have done this? Like, put yourself in the mindset of the time, not the now. Because I think the now Ted Johnson would do it, right? If somebody was saying a check would be coming.
I think I might have been open to it because I learned what compounding numbers mean. You know, just if I knew then what I knew now about my tendencies of players.
Right.
Basically the average player goes broke after 3 years.
Yeah.
I would have done this.
It's a safety net.
Yeah.
You can't screw it up because it's coming.
Nope.
Like you can't burn it. Although I bet you there's ways in today's day and age that you could do it. I bet you could.
Antoine Walker could teach you a way to screw it up.
I bet you could find a company that would give you the money up front if you sell them the rights to the future checks, and then you could blow that money. So you're right. You could probably find a way to screw it up. But Bobby Bonilla did not. And this goes down. I know it gets a lot of run in the sports world every year. And we can all dream. Stiz, yes.
We never asked Ted today, and we can save it for tomorrow if we want to, but his thoughts on the Mahomes autograph story.
Oh, yeah.
And who was in the right, who was in the wrong.
Let's give him some time to percolate on that. But yes, Ted Johnson, tomorrow, we're going to get
that'll be a fun discussion.
Your history of autographs, when you give them, when you don't give them. Have you ever autographed a breast, anything like that? We'll get to Ted Johnson's autograph
I'll never
tomorrow.
Forget the first breast I ever signed.
It just always stays with you all the time. No Christian Arcan tonight, but we are leading up to the Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Weil, and he is joining us now. Joe, are they going to score 7 runs in the first inning tonight?
Well, first things first, I want to say that was a great segue going from asking Ted that question and then bringing it to me. A big smile on my face.
I could have
like
been mean.
Said in the contract, Joe.
I could have said from one boob to another or something, but I didn't. I kept that to myself. I called you Joe Weil, baseball analyst.
I was going to say, what a job Arcand has. No, we will see if this offense could do that again. That was so much fun to watch yesterday, just to see that. And here I was in the pregame, like, just hyping up this pitching matchup between Garrett Crochet and the kid, Chase Burns. Crochet had one of his worst outings as a Red Sox. He was still pretty solid. And then, yeah, the kid gets knocked out in the first inning. So hopefully that's the case again. I brought back a little of my positivity on the air last night. We'll see if that extends into tonight, both in the pre and post game. But like what I saw last night.
Same here. And Ted has been beating me down because, you know, they've had these one-off explosions. This is a two of the last three explosions. So that's a little bit of a small sample trend. And then you say Roman Anthony's hitting a little bit better. Maybe they're starting to put something together with some consistency. And they only struck out five times, Joel. I know you're the numbers guy, but only five strikeouts. I like what I see.
And that was a huge part of last night. Now, I want to be careful too, Andy, because I don't know if you remember last year when you and Arcand were doing the show, I kept coming on with you guys on the crossover segment and saying, oh, the offense is going to be fine. This was in September of last year, and it wasn't. That being said, so hopefully we're not jinxing it. That being said, I have really liked what I have seen recently from this group, and this is what I talked about in postgame yesterday, is that you have guys like the young guys coming around, like Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer. They look ready here at the major league level. And then on top of that, Willy Abreu does what he does last night. And if you get one of his hot stretches, this team offensively could be in a good spot. But then you add in the possible Alex Bregman part of the equation, the fact that he could come back now before the All-Star break. Yoshida is now in Worcester actually swinging a bat in gameplay, which is awesome. So, yeah, they could add some real pieces, you know, coming forward here. And the offense, to me, is looking better. I am more positive about it than I was certainly right after the Rafael Devers trade.
All right, stick around for more positivity with Joe Weil and the MassMutual pregame show. And tomorrow we'll be back, 2 o'clock, Fenway Park. That means 2:30, Alex Cora, 4:30, Matt Castle in what I feel like is going to turn into a segment bullying Andy for wearing jerseys as an adult. Big show tomorrow, 2 to 6. Nice job. Quiz with Stiz, Dan Ball, great open. Fitzy, Ted, great show. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, 2 o'clock, WEEI Afternoons.